You've been going to the gym because that looked effortless.
Hello, Schitt's Creek fans. Welcome to another episode of Schitt's and Giggles. We're a Schitt's Creek podcast where every other week we talk about a different episode of the series, and we're going through the whole thing in chronological order. I'm one of your two hosts. My name's Paul McCambridge, and with me, as always, is my lovely wife, Carla. Carla, how are you?
Good.
All right.
We're wrapping up season four. It's only taken us, I don't know, it feels like 10 years.
Just on season four?
No, to get this far.
We're recording on a wintry, snowy...
Snowy Saturday.
Saturday morning.
Yeah.
In our closet.
Yeah, it's all cozy.
It does get very warm here.
It's a shame we don't have a window that we could watch the snow fall as we discuss.
We can open the door and at least I can see.
Oh, well, yeah.
I can relay the information about the snowfall.
The dog and children will just run in.
Well, no,
be
of
great.
Course. Yeah, there's a reason we have to close the door. Mm-hmm. We're here kind of wrapping up the season.
Well,
I mean, for us, we are. And at the end, I'll talk about what's happening next week and what's happening in 2 weeks. But let's just say...
There's things happening next week and in 2 weeks that I don't know about.
Well, in 2 weeks, we do this again.
Well, right. What's happening next week?
Well, next week, I'm going to put Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose out again so it can be in the proper order.
Oh, wow. Because...
It's important. I mean, this is...
Okay. Like, because people are worried about this?
No. I need this stuff to be in the right order. Oh, I can't put episode 13 in between like episodes 8 and 9 or wherever it's sitting. I need to move it.
Okay.
So I guess I just spoiled the excitement of the end of the episode.
Yeah. So basically you can just turn it off now.
Oh, yeah. You can turn this off.
There's
you don't
need to listen to the rest. You already know what's going to happen.
If you've already turned it off, I totally understand. But no, the Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose, honestly, right now when you're listening to this, it is already up there. So if you do want to go back a few episodes.
If you
want
to celebrate Christmas in January.
Yeah, if for some reason you didn't hear it originally, it is there. But if you do want to wait a week and you want to listen to everything in order. Which
the way it was intended.
Yes, which I understand. You don't have to wait 2 weeks to hear about a Christmas episode. Mm-hmm. You can get that next week. But anyway, let's move on talking about the episode that we're here to talk about.
In our closet to talk
right,
about.
Which is the 12th episode of Season 4, Singles Week. And the original air date of this episode was April 10th of 2018. This is the final episode directed by Sturla Gunnarsson. And he directed 6 episodes all in Season 4. Mm-hmm. So he's kind of a one season and done.
One season wonder.
One season wonder. Yes. Yeah. Let's refer to him as that.
Yeah.
And I think I looked back at our rankings real quick, just because I do like to do like a sort of wrap up when someone leaves of their mm-hmm. episodes that they were responsible for and how we felt about them. It was easy, you know, he only did 6, so it was easy to find the episodes. Mm-hmm. I think so far, we'll see where this one falls, but so far I think his highest ranked episode between the two of us was the Jazza guy. And I noticed that he has not directed anything since the pandemic. His last credits were in 2019 with the TV series Ransom and Street Legal.
All right.
So we bid you
took a little COVID break.
I guess if it's a COVID break, he's still on that break.
Yeah.
Hopefully it's nothing more serious than that.
Right.
But we wish you a fond farewell in the Schitt's Creek universe, Sturla Gunnarsson.
Yeah.
And this episode was written by Dan Levy.
Yeah,
as has been, you know, sort of the case with
makes
the first
sense.
And last
first
episodes. And,
last.
And sometimes ones sprinkled in between. And perhaps he will direct an episode that is the next one that we've already talked about.
Perhaps. Yes. And also, when mm-hmm. you mentioned a farewell, sure. I said to you yesterday, we had to make sure that we pay our condolences to Dan Levy.
Oh,
on
yes.
the loss of his very sweet puppy, Redmond.
Okay.
He shared that on social media this week.
Oh, that makes sense.
That he
sense.
Lost
okay.
his dog. So, super sad. We know that they actually kind of used Redmond's image on some beer.
Right.
In the series. Right. But yeah, he posts a lot about his dog and constantly yeah. had a lot of pictures. And he lost Redmond this week. So, super sad moment yeah. in Dan Levy's life.
And
so.
It is kind of interesting. I mean, we'll talk more about it in this episode, that given the fact that some episodes take place, not the whole thing, in a vet's office, it is kind of surprising that his dog wasn't just there or in the background or something like that
yeah.
in some of these. But, you know, some animals are better on camera than others.
Well, his is always super cute on
Instagram.
Oh,
no, no. Yeah, definitely. So. And while he may yeah. be a very good actor, who knows if his dog was that great.
Oh,
so,
wow.
you know, sometimes...
Just in his dog.
I'm not. But this makes total sense because it's not like I avoid reading social media.
Mm-hmm.
But I saw somebody post feeding his dog this week. And I was like, oh, that's really cute, his dog. And until you told me, I did not
yeah.
know why. So,
yep.
Yeah.
Yeah. So...
So
sending out lots of
right, yes, because we know he listens.
Lots of love to him. Maybe he does. You never know.
Okay, I mean, if he does, let us know.
Let us know, Dan, if you're listening.
Yeah,
right
if
now.
You are listening, if you've stumbled upon this somehow, or have been listening since the start, maybe that first episode we got like 5 downloads. One was him.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
Hey, you never know.
All right. So anyway, let's talk about this episode. It does open in the motel.
Yes.
With basically Alexis sort of, I mean, it is the start of Singles Week. Today
yes.
is the day.
The kickoff.
You got to wear that volunteers t-shirt
yeah.
and be ready to go unless you're Moira.
Well, right.
Right. but Moira comes in and is very excited because she knows the telltale signs of Singles Week.
Oh, totally.
And
yeah.
it is 3 women with smoker's coughs talking about
Sex in the City. Yeah, the singles have arrived.
Mm-hmm.
But yeah, that's when, you know, they kind of have a whole discussion. Alexis is in her volunteer t-shirt
right.
and she's all, shouldn't hers say like chair or something, like instead of volunteer?
There is something nice about being like, listen, I'm no more important than any of you
okay.
that are helping. But you're
or
right.
Co-chair, I guess it would need to be. Because
yeah.
obviously Moira is still trying to claim a lot of credit for this event.
Yeah, you would think that hers would either say something different or maybe it's just a black shirt that doesn't have anything on it, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
But she wants to be one of the people.
Yeah. Yeah. And I have to say, in this episode, I think Annie Murphy looked amazing. It
as,
just even though she was just in her
okay.
I mean, she always looks
I
great,
was gonna
but
say.
There was just something about like her hair in this episode.
Okay.
I just thought she looked great. Like just I don't know. There was just something about her that
okay.
stood out to me in this episode.
I mean, it's more of a
casual
look,
Alexis
which
look.
Is
yeah.
rare to see from any of these characters.
Yeah. But
so.
I don't know, something about her in this episode and maybe in light of how it ends and everything else,
mm-hmm.
like maybe this is her having like a more like fresh, innocent, casual kind of look. I also thought later on at the end, I made note, and I mean, we could talk about it more when we get there
mm-hmm.
about she and oh, we'll talk about it when we get there.
Okay,
I don't want
right.
to spoil it.
Oh,
this
right,
early
yeah.
on.
No, it's okay because
we
know everybody listening has not watched this show.
Well, right,
so
no,
that's
but
fine.
I just
no,
thought
no,
she.
Fine.
I don't know. There was just something about her in this episode that I really thought just her hair, her whole look, really. I thought she looked.
No,
great.
And I think you're probably right in that.
In
you
my
know,
opinion,
yeah,
my opinion is
no. Based on what you're saying and what her character is all about and
mm-hmm.
what this episode is all about, I think that having her appear more approachable is probably what they're going for.
Yeah.
But anyway, all right.
Moving on.
Yeah, moving on because it's not just these two because Johnny is very excited.
Oh, Max Capass.
All week long.
Yeah.
So
Singles Week is just benefiting this whole cute little town.
And this whole family. Yeah. So Moira's bungling of the Singles Day into a Singles Week really helped everybody out.
Yeah, so Johnny was super excited. It's at Max Capass, I think, is the way he explained it as he walked in, which I always love when Johnny tries to, like, use fun lingo.
Hey.
That's always great.
I don't really think he messed that up, if that's what he's trying to say.
It was just funny.
I mean, I don't think anybody like, says
he talks
that.
Like
but
that,
still,
yeah.
No, nobody does. So, the other thing that's happening at this point is basically Alexis thinks, or Moira is kind of trying to cut Alexis out of this. Or, I mean, just because she's not wearing the t-shirt, she's dressed as Moira always does.
Right.
To, in order to, you know, set herself apart.
Mm-hmm.
Alexis is not happy about this and kind of says, you know, are you trying to take this over? Or this is our thing.
Right.
You should be part of the team and all of that.
Right.
And also, Moira hasn't done, I think, the one thing she was supposed to do, which is just go get a bunch of locks
get
and
keys.
Get
the locks and keys from Jocelyn's. Which, why is Jocelyn holding on to the locks and keys?
I don't know.
I don't know either. Maybe they sent Roland to get them, so they were at their house. I don't know.
With the amount of errands that he does run, it's totally not out of the realm of possibilities that for some reason Moira put this job onto Roland.
I don't know. Yeah. Yeah, but yeah, Alexis is, she's having a little bit of a stressful week. She's trying to coordinate Singles Week. She has closed a chapter of her life with Ted.
Yeah.
I love how they talked about their last joint venture together was the Teenage Rosacea Ball.
Yeah. Right. Yes.
So I don't know if that was successful or not.
It sounds like it wasn't. Or it sounds like at least Alexis didn't hold up her part of whatever the bargain was. But you have to assume she was probably 14 years old or something like that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So Alexis, as you said, is like all upset about this Ted stuff. She is losing her mind, but has kept it together enough to do everything.
Right.
To get this ready.
To get this off the ground and successful.
Which is to, I assume, plan enough events to take the place over 7 days.
I guess. That's a lot.
They just seem to be at such
a loss.
Seven,
or do you think it's five? Do you think it's just like a work week?
I don't know.
You would think you'd want singles events on a weekend.
Oh, no.
Friday, Saturday night, Sundays. I can't imagine.
I can't imagine all these people are like, well, I guess I got to call out of work for a week to go to this.
Right. Well, I'm sure during the week they're just evening activities.
Do you think it's just different people coming in?
I don't know.
Okay. There's a lot that this could possibly be.
I don't know. Wow. Regardless, it's going to be tons of fun.
Right. Yes. And, you know, we've already made one Sex and the City joke, so let's do
David's
another one.
David's in with the second.
Right.
Talking about all the raspy-voiced Mirandas. Right.
So, Miranda
is
Kim Cattrall?
No. Miranda is Cynthia Nixon.
Oh.
Wow.
Yeah. I'm way off.
Well, Miranda was definitely, like, the most sarcastic, the most...
Oh, really? Okay.
Oh, totally.
All right. I don't know anything...
No, she was definitely, like, the...
I thought he meant that there were several raspy, horrible ladies. And, right, isn't Kim Cattrall's character pretty... Not terrible, but...
She's not terrible. She was by far the most promiscuous, to put it nicely.
Oh, okay.
Miranda was definitely the sarcastic, like, down on love. Like,
oh, really?
Down
okay.
on guys.
All right.
Like,
okay, good.
Yeah.
Then
yeah,
this makes
then,
so much... All right. This makes... Yeah. So, all right. So this is really a inside baseball sort of joke where since I have not watched it, I really wouldn't understand.
Yeah.
Okay. All right. And I guess I'm getting Kim Cattrall, the character, confused with Kim Cattrall, the person. Right? She's supposed to be a little bit difficult, I think.
I don't know about that.
All right. I'm just spreading some, as Johnny would say, hot goss on this podcast, I guess.
I guess so. You're just making these assumptions.
Well, she didn't come back for, the reunion or something?
Yeah, there's a lot of... This is not a Sex in the City podcast. We're
Thank God, because I would...
One.
This would be the
That would
worst.
Be a one-sided conversation if it was. No, I think there's a lot of things that have come out about that, and there's a lot of conversation about... Kim Cattrall and Sarah Jessica Parker. Okay. And, all right. But I don't know. Nobody really knows the truth behind all of that except for those two ladies.
And I am not here to spread rumors. So let's move
beyond. But you're trying to because you're just
really trying.
Pulling up the gossip. Now that everybody's turned this off, which we had already predicted.
Right.
Let's dive back in and attend the hotel staff meeting, motel staff meeting.
Yes, I kind of wish we had seen these through the entire
season. Oh, I know. Yeah, with Roland, Johnny, and Stevie having a little meeting. Roland's on the phone with Bob.
Yeah, and not just texting. Like, it is a phone call from Bob where they're both making fun of Johnny. Like, they're just laughing about Johnny as this meeting appears to be going on.
Yeah.
But it is really fun. Like, I love the idea of, you know, like, I love these problem-solving, I don't want to call them exercises because this is a real show, about writing, which is like, well, how do we get Jocelyn to the hospital, but we don't have Roland there?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's the one thing that leads up to this?
Mm-hmm.
So they have to have this scene
where
Stevie and Johnny basically confiscate his phone as though he's a child.
Well, I wouldn't say Stevie. I would say Johnny.
No, Johnny, right.
Johnny kind of takes it and he's like, okay, no, give me your phone. Like, we need you to be attentive to this meeting. Put it on silent, or I'm going to put it on silent, which he doesn't know how to do. So he hands it to Stevie to do that.
And then do we see Johnny put this phone in his jacket or anything?
I think they just lay it on the table because later on that's where it is. I don't know that Johnny actually like pockets it or anything.
Okay, I mean, Johnny has to take it out of his pocket later to give it to Roland. So I just didn't know
when they're outside. They were in the motel later and it rang or it vibrated. I shouldn't say but it vibrated.
Okay.
And it was on the little like coffee table or table that they have there in front of the couch. So so they decide that he's going to run some errands. He has to go to Elmdale. He's getting the car washed.
Well, no, he suggests that.
He suggests that.
With all the errands, they're making him run. Yeah. And then he says, oh, should I wash the car and give Johnny an eyebrow trim?
A brow trim. Yeah.
It's pretty funny. I also do like the fact that this kind of paints he and Bob as BFFs for some reason. Especially
even
later.
They're both on counsel. I know.
I just think it's really fun because even later, Bob's on the phone with Jocelyn, too.
No, Bob's on the phone with Gwen.
I thought he was on the phone earlier with Jocelyn because, never mind. I'm already confused. And
about
it's not
Sex in the City. And
it's not a very confusing episode either.
No.
All right. So let's
go to the apothecary.
Let's go to the apothecary now because
your least favorite setting. Every time I see that now, I just think, oh, that's your least favorite setting.
It was only my least favorite. This podcast is becoming more contentious as we go because I shouldn't have. I just did not like how early in the season, how much time we spent in Rose Apothecary.
So you're cool with it now?
Oh, it's totally fine now.
Okay.
Yes.
All right.
Yeah, we're just not in there all the time anymore.
Right.
And I appreciate that.
Okay. David is struggling to get a box in the door.
Struggling mightily.
Super funny.
Yes.
Yeah.
I kind of understand how he almost struggles to get in the door, because the door opens in, and that can be tough.
Right.
The box is very big.
It's a,
How many dog sweaters are in this thing?
I don't know.
That's crazy.
I don't know, but I can't imagine. Maybe it's really heavy, but I would think dog sweaters wouldn't be that heavy.
It's just a big box, so I think the awkwardness
is the main
problem.
And that's what he says, basically.
Yes.
But I love Patrick said, have you been going to the gym? Because that looks effortless.
Which
I thought
joke.
Was actually great.
That's really
funny.
You know
how I sometimes feel about Patrick, but I thought that was that was an appropriate dig. Like, funny.
It's very funny.
You know, like, a little bit sarcastic, but not mean?
No, not at all.
Right.
And I really do think how funny it is that it's like, well, David could have easily just taken them over, but he's there to basically try and see if
Patrick
would rather
will take
do
them
this.
Over. Right, because he has these dog sweaters to take to Ted's. He wants him to save him the distress because it's going to be a very awkward, cringy situation as a result of all the background information that David has from what happened between Ted and Alexis.
Yeah, so it is revealed. David basically says that Alexis has told him everything that happened, you know, the last episode, the last couple episodes, everything going on between she and Ted. And she certainly didn't want to walk the dog sweaters over.
Well, right.
And he doesn't want to get into some sort of discussion
either.
And so this is important because this is where This is where Patrick tells David that he loves him.
For the first time.
Right, yes. Yeah. And I do think that this is a little bit, I'm going to say melodramatic on David's end. Mm-hmm. Because he's like, with everything going on. And in my mind, I'm like, you have to walk dog sweaters over to the vet's office. Like, you're not Alexis. Like, Alexis has this entire event, this week-long event. It appears that Patrick just is casually unboxing products, too.
He said he had to unpack the products.
Right. But it doesn't even seem like, it's not like there are boxes of unopened things that they have to put on
like
display.
Yeah, there's like a tiny box there, and he's just lining it up.
It really is David rolling into work at noon and being like, my life is in shambles right now.
Yeah, yeah. But Patrick is kind of funny. He's like, oh, you're so brave and generous and everything, and not to add one more stress onto your plate. You know, but then David's reaction was great, though, too, because he talks about, like, I've only ever said that, or we've only ever said that twice with my parents, and once was at a Mariah Carey concert. You know, to which, of course, we see the first time we hear that Patrick says, you're my Mariah Carey.
Yes, of course.
Yes.
Yeah. Oh, my gosh.
Yeah.
That's really great. Oh, so, yeah. So, even after all of this, David has to go, and he has to take the sweaters over.
Right.
And Patrick asks him to bring him back tea.
Yeah.
Somebody's got to watch the store.
Well, right. Yeah. And there's also at that kind of at the end of that, like David kind of starts to say, I think it was David. Now I don't know because my notes aren't clear.
Yeah.
It almost seemed like he was going to respond with an I love you back because he didn't say an I love you back.
No,
he didn't. And then he said, I'd like to thank you.
Right. Yes. Yeah.
I think that's important to note that he didn't respond.
I think it's important to note that he didn't respond, but also I think if he did respond, it would feel like he felt as though he had to say the same thing back. Like, I like how, spoiler, he has to do this on his own terms at some point when it comes up, which is very nice. I think that's great. All right. So now
we're at the cafe with Alexis.
Right. Yes. Because Singles Week has begun.
It's starting and she's kind of stalling.
Yes.
Because Moira has not come yet, and it is the lock and key event.
Mm-hmm. So it's a lot of her, I guess, just rehashing stuff she has said before, because everybody there is kind of tired of hearing this.
Right.
Somebody yells out, you know, something that she had, I guess, said before. There are a couple things, people that pop up in this episode who are credited, that one of which we have met before, and somebody else later on, I can't place them. So while I do like to give people credit for what they do, when it's just two instances of people yelling stuff, I don't know who it was or who was talking at the time. Because the other thing is, as we mentioned, we kind of don't look up while we're taking
notes. One of the ladies, I think, wasn't it the one of the female entrepreneurs who was a jazzy gal?
Would that be...
I believe she said she made a comment.
Would that be Audrey?
Maybe.
Because I know we went through the female jazzy gals before in our jazzy gals episode. Go back and listen if you want to hear about all of them and who they are. Maybe that's who I couldn't place. Because another person that yells out is, what's her name, who helped David bag groceries?
Or what's her name, David. Darlene?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. So
I didn't
she's
catch
there
Darlene,
as well.
But I do believe the other lady was the jazzy gal that has the gorgeous voice.
Okay.
Remember when Moira first came in, the soloist, who has just a beautiful voice. She was also at the female that I believe at entrepreneurs event
I guess,
at Ronnie's.
All right. Then
I believe it was
who,
her.
Okay. Then that is who I couldn't place when they were showing us all these people. Yes. So
If we would just rewind, we could save all of this conversation.
Oh, no, definitely. Yes. But then
what
would people have to listen to?
Well, So, they're just sitting there saying, these idiots, they don't even know what they're talking about. Why do I listen to this anymore?
And unsubscribe.
Yeah. But anyway, the whole reason that we're there and Alexis is stalling, she ends up getting a phone call from Moira, who
kind
announces.
Kind of panicked Not even panicked.
Not panicked.
Moira seems pretty casual with this whole thing.
Under control.
She's in the car.
Jocelyn's in labor.
Yes. Taking, kind of, as we assume, Jocelyn to the hospital. The reveal that she's not driving, I totally forgot about this.
Oh, my gosh.
I thought it was
very
funny.
Yeah. But, you know, and Alexis is saying, like, the press is already here. Like, we are ready to get started. And, of course, Moira is off to the hospital. She's not even close to anything. I love how she says she calls Alexis a frippet.
Yeah.
Don't start without me, you little frippet, she says. Which that line cracks me up.
Yeah.
I love it. Isn't like what is a frippet? Is
I
that
don't
something?
Know. It's not a crumpet.
What are those little isn't there like a little Star Warsy thing that's like a frippet?
I have no idea what you're
talking
about.
There's like some kind of little Star Warsy thing.
A frippet?
Something like
a
that.
A star. You
isn't
think
it?
Moira
no, I don't
Rose
think she
is
called
making
her, but
a Star
it reminds
Wars
me of
reference.
Something that was on. There's like some kind of little weird, like, I don't know. Never mind. I must be wrong because you're looking at me
no,
like I'm crazy.
I want to know what you're talking about.
I don't know.
About.
I thought there was something on Star Wars that sounded like a frippet. I've got to be
up.
Wrong.
Are you
no.
going to type in frippet
no.
Star Wars?
No, maybe I will.
And
let's find out what happens.
Up.
I hope something does come up.
I hope it does, too.
I don't think
I would
it will,
like to know.
But, oh, it's not from Star Wars. I think it's from Star Trek.
Oh, Tribble?
That's what I was thinking. Okay, yeah, okay.
Fine. No.
Yeah.
That's fine.
Yeah, that's what it was. I was close. I was
no,
in
the... I
you couldn't even pick that up. I'm surprised.
No, I was
couldn't.
Very excited to find out that Moira was like a secret Star Wars fan.
Well, no, I didn't really think it was from Star Wars.
Yeah.
I knew that, but it reminded me of something
that I
had heard.
It sounds British.
Yeah.
Anyway.
Yeah.
So...
I don't know what a frippet is.
No.
I'm going to look it up anyway, just because I'm curious if there's something
no,
about
frippets. No, please do. This is great. It could be...
Frippet meaning British, old-fashioned, informal, a frivolous or flamboyant young woman.
See, Moira knows what she's saying.
She totally knows what she's saying. I still like the fact, though, that it's like a little tiny creature in Star Trek.
Right. A little tiny ball of fur that like multiplies or whatever those things do.
Yes.
In that. Oh, that's really great.
Yeah, okay.
So, yeah, so she's on her way to the
We're
hospital.
We're really hitting all kind of realms today.
It's,
Sex
it's,
in the City,
this is like
Star
the
Wars, Star
pop
Trek.
Culture
Schitt's Creek.
Podcast that you all need to listen to.
Yeah.
Tell all your Star Trek fanatic fans to check us
We've
out.
We mentioned it once.
Right.
They should totally listen.
So she's on her way. I also like, I'm like, Moira, it's a week long. Like, if you're not there when it starts, she can swoop in at any point and sort of take over. Because I can't imagine that they're both going to be at all these events. That would be tiring. That would be exhausting. But I understand that she wants her to stall.
But what else do they have to do?
I don't know.
Like, what else are they doing?
I guess you're right.
Right?
They
so
could
I'm
do
sure
these
they
events.
Would be at all the events.
Yeah. So, while all of this is happening... Johnny and Stevie realize that Roland's forgotten
this
his phone.
This is when the phone starts to vibrate.
Because it's vibrating and going crazy.
Yes. And when Stevie picks it up, she realizes that there are 17 calls and 3 texts from Jocelyn. And it's basically just like pictures of babies, pictures of bombs exploding or heads exploding.
No,
I forget what she described.
It's great because it's like baby... coming or like the two first ones and then she's like and just a row of baby emojis with an explosion.
Yeah,
it's really fun. This is when they realize that this is a huge problem,
right? And they realize
and they gave him all those errands to run.
Johnny's like
Elmdale.
He'll be back soon, and then Stevie's like, I don't know, we gave him a lot of errands,
right? Yeah,
so yeah, they kind of realize they've really messed up and they have no way to get in touch with him.
So let's now go to character in, I think, a location he's never been in. Has David ever been at the vet's office before this?
He was when he had the panic attack. And
oh,
Stevie
you're
took
right.
him to Ted's.
You're
so,
right.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
He's been
That's
there.
Great. Okay.
Yep.
So,
yeah,
he comes by with all these dog sweaters and shares one of the greatest awkward hugs.
Oh,
I'm
totally.
Going to say in cinematic history between two characters where... At the end, they're kind of almost bowing into each other with this hug.
Yeah.
Because Ted's uncomfortable and thrown off because he assumed that Alexis was coming.
He was expecting Alexis, right.
He was totally ready to go with what he's got to say. Mm-hmm. And just the fact that David shows up really throws him. And we already know David doesn't want to be there at all.
Right, right. And he kind of said, well, she was swamped. I agreed to come and drop this
exactly.
off.
Exactly, yes.
And we can tell right away that Ted is very torn, distraught, upset, right. distressed.
He's trying to make animal puns, though.
Oh, totally.
He tries so hard with his yeah. pet peeves.
Yeah.
So great.
Yeah, but he confesses pretty quickly into the conversation that he broke up with Heather.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that... So Ted's been very busy since Alexis was last there, mm-hmm. I guess. So, goodbye, Heather. We'll never hear from her or certainly never see her again on this show. So maybe we should just, you know, mm-hmm. have a moment of silence for Heather. Is that mm-hmm. what we do when a character leaves?
I don't know.
But yeah, David really stays. And
well, they come back to them.
No. Right. So, I'm just saying he's not it's not like he's running back
he
to the apothecary.
He didn't drop and run,
right,
basically.
Exactly.
Yeah.
He sort of sees that Ted is ready to talk about this or needs someone to talk to or mm-hmm. needs some help through this.
Right.
So now let's go back to the cafe.
Yes.
Because we meet a reporter who mm-hmm. needs to go to not Elmdale, but Elm Glen.
Yeah.
Which I'm assuming has been brought up before, but I didn't notice the name of this
town. I can't keep track
of
all the Elm towns and Elm things that are brought up.
Right. She's on a deadline.
Yeah.
She needs this to start ASAP.
Right.
She has things to do.
Yeah, she has places to be. So, because Alexis, again, is still stalling. She's like, I'm just triple checking to make sure everybody's registered for these events. But of course, she talks all about she's telling them about the whole lock and key event, and it basically turns into a whole discussion about her relationship with Ted mm-hmm. and her feelings as she talks about this whole lock and key event. You know, when you get the right key, you just think right. everything's going to work out, but life is way more complicated than that. And
I like how she's really referencing.
She references Mutt and references like Mutt, other past
and
relationships.
And I'm assuming Stavros, yeah. where she's talking about how she always thought a lock should be aggressive. And I think she says European,
yeah,
which is really great. Or it yeah. should have a beard.
Yeah.
A lot of really fun things.
Yeah.
I find it so bizarre, not bizarre, but. That they brought back Mutt in the episode before
not
his
where,
brother arrived.
Yeah.
And I'm not saying Mutt should show up at the hospital with Roland
right.
or something like that, because they brought him up for a reason that has to do with Alexis,
of course.
Not really
not,
about
yeah.
this baby at all.
Yeah.
But I just found it interesting how he's not there. And not outside
yeah.
of a discussion of
they
a lock.
Didn't need him
he's
for
not
that.
Even referenced it.
Right.
Like and you don't need to do this, mm-hmm. and it's not a weird closure thing that I'm looking... I'm not even a fan of Mutt.
Yeah.
But just the fact that when they're in the hospital, like, there could have been a real quick thing with Roland just hanging up the phone and being like, Mutt's on his way or mm-hmm. something. We don't need to see him. We
yeah.
just need someone to say that he's still in town
yeah.
or whatever.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, let's talk about this reporter.
Okay.
Janine Kalea. I'm going to assume that that's correct.
That's a big assumption, but go ahead.
Her first IMDb credit is back in 2001 when she was in the movie Get Over It. If you don't remember the movie Get Over It, it's starring Kirsten Dunst and Cisco, the thong song guy.
Wow.
Yes.
No, I don't know that anybody remembers that movie except maybe...
A Girl I Worked With?
Kirsten yep. Dunst and Cisco. Might be the only two people that ever remember that movie.
I thought you meant how my friend was such a Cisco fan.
Yeah. No. No.
Never met another Cisco fan in my life. Okay.
Shout out to her
right
now.
Yes.
If she's listening.
Again, sure she's listening. So she was also in shows that we talked about before, like Queer as Folk, Degrassi, The Next Generation, Murdoch Mysteries.
All our faves.
Good Witch, and Designated Survivor. Now, all of those were before Schitt's Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Since then, she's popped up in Suits, Working Moms, The Odd Squad, and as many other people.
And again,
a lot of Hallmark Christmas movies.
Yeah, all of right. the usual suspects.
All the I am so surprised that PBS show The Odd Squad is so full of these actors.
I don't know what that is. I don't remember.
I don't know. It's like these kids who are...
Okay, that's what I was thinking. Isn't that like a children's kind of
right, it's like kids in suits, like they're Men in Black or something. And it's just these little skits that kind of, you know, teach kids words and stuff like that.
Oh,
but,
okay.
Hey, a gig's a gig,
I guess, you know? Yeah.
So that is this reporter who we see even later on.
We do see her. Get a quick little glimpse of her later. We're back at the motel again.
Yeah.
There's a lot of jumping around in this one.
Yeah.
A lot.
Not that it's difficult to keep track of because, you know, we know these locations. So this is where Bob's on the phone.
He's talking to Gwen.
I know.
Yeah.
I realized at first I put in my notes that he was on with Jocelyn.
Yeah.
Before it was revealed who he was talking to.
Right.
I love how he's talking to Gwen here
about Johnny again,
saying that they took his phone away from him.
Yeah,
and Gwen,
maybe she's trying to track down Roland, I guess, like, and called Bob, like,
right?
I'm assuming like she's Jocelyn's probably like, I don't know where Roland is. I can't get in touch with him, so maybe Gwen is like, well, let me call Bob and see if I can track him down.
That's what I assume is happening.
Yeah, I guess,
she must be saying some pretty rotten things about Johnny.
Gwen's a little bit of a rotten person.
Oh no, definitely.
She always looks,
of course,
sweet.
But I think, I think even Bob says something like, "Yeah, he's pretty slippery." Or pretty slimy something equally terrible.
But fortunately, Roland shows up pretty quickly. So they are good to go. And they can give him his phone and be like, you need to leave right now.
Right.
To
yes.
get to the hospital.
And I think it is absolutely adorable how appreciative Roland is that Johnny hands him his phone. Because Roland is so upset. He's like, where's my phone? I can't believe she didn't call me. Where's my phone? And Johnny digs out of his pocket like, here it is. And he's like, thank you so much, Johnny. I got to go to the hospital. I'll see you guys later.
Right.
It's really great. Yeah. So anything about taking the phone, that is all forgotten. Mm-hmm. No big deal here at all.
Yeah.
So let's go back to the vet, because now this is where Ted is really getting into details about his... honeymoon,
past
vocation,
relationship
whatever.
Woes.
Yes.
Excuse me, with Alexis.
Right.
I love this scene.
Mm-hmm.
I absolutely love this scene.
Yeah, it's really great. I always like when two characters that have not spent a whole lot of time together finally do spend time together.
Uh-huh.
We can talk about way down the line if we want to when Patrick and Johnny spend time watching sports together.
Yeah.
Like it's always really nice because we do tend to see the same people
pair off
a whole lot. So to see something different happening, I think is very nice. And what I appreciate sometimes in this show, because as we said, like Dan Levy wrote this episode, and we might even talk about that later, because even sometimes when people bring up, like, why would Patrick say certain things to David and all that? Like, people all the time will be like, Dan wrote
that's
this.
How he wrote
like, that's,
it.
That's
right.
it's, yeah. it's not this character's issue or something like that.
Right.
And I really appreciate the fact that if you write an episode and you're in it, you don't need to be the main character. And everything you say isn't the most important stuff. And just to give Ted all of the weight here, I think, is really nice. And basically, it's just kind of David reacting to what he's saying.
But
I mean, I know there's
I
more that he says.
Like,
but
I think he does a little more with that. But yeah, they have this lovely little heart to heart. I like how Ted talks about his off-road biking tours in Mexico.
When he says
that was like
his
way to get over her.
Do you know
how many
I had to go on just to stop thinking about her? And I love how David's like, now, I've never done that. Dirt biking's not my thing, but I'm assuming a lot.
Right, yeah. Yeah, but then, like, And I do. I love it once David starts to say, well, let me share with you, like, kind of like, let me tell you what I know.
Yeah.
You know, and he talks about how, like, your name has come up in conversation every single day for the past 6 months. Mm-hmm. You know, she's different and she knows she's made mistakes and you've been burned. And then David talks about how he's like the equivalent of a roasted marshmallow inside. But I love it. He's like, you got it, don't let it go. Like, this is a good thing, and you've totally got this if you want it.
Yeah. I do like how he says...
I just love how it's like a little list. He's like, I can tell you this, I can tell you this, I can tell you this. And
yeah, but it's so also sweet. Funny how he does say, she's different now, and then he goes, well, not too different.
Yeah.
Like, I think that's really good.
Yeah.
And of course, the way the scene ends is wonderful.
Oh, totally. Because it's this heart-to-heart, like, very sweet moment. And then he eats the dog treat. And he said it looks like a real treat. What do I do now?
I do now? As he kind of just walks away. Like,
right.
That's
and it's like this dog treat's just, like, sitting in his mouth. Yeah. No. Oh, my gosh. That's totally. That's great, great ending to this. And that's what they always do so well. They have those, you know, serious moments of, like, you know, heart-to-heart conversation, and then they end it with something, you know. He and Stevie are always good at that.
Oh, no, definitely.
You know?
Yes.
Like, they'll zing each other or have, like, a really, really funny line at the end of something like that.
Right. So now let's go to the hospital. We've never been in a hospital in this show before.
We are later. There's
an
episode
down later the line. Is fine. No,
right.
I'm just saying.
Yeah.
Yeah, we haven't been to this big city hospital or wherever they are. It's not some...
Elmwood. Creek. Elm Glen. Elm...
Just keep going.
Yeah.
Just whatever, like, country words you can think of or foresty, nature-y stuff.
Yeah.
So now there's this conversation between Jocelyn and Moira.
Mm-hmm.
Because Moira's like, listen, I wish I could stay... But Alexis can't handle a single sweep.
No, she needs me there. She, you know.
This is such a funny scene because Jocelyn is the one in labor and she has to be the voice of reason. Like, she's there to basically calm Moira down.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. And she, again, this is where it's like another, like, speaking to the change that Alexis makes. You know, she's like, and she really kind of says, you know, because Moira was worried about Alexis being able to handle all this.
Yeah.
And, you know, she said, I can't speak to her before, but she's a hard worker. She's kind. She's capable of more than people think she is. And more than people give her credit for.
Yeah. And I thought this was funny. And now I'm like, wait, maybe this wasn't even a joke. Because you were like, why did you just laugh at this while we were watching it? Because Moira's reaction is to say, what a nice compliment a mother could hear, which makes it seem like Moira's taking this as a compliment of herself as a mother, where I don't think that that's what
I didn't take it that way. I thought, like, well, that's nice. Those are nice words to hear about your child. You know?
Okay.
That's how I interpreted it.
Moira was thinking this
is a reflection of me.
Yeah.
Right.
Where clearly it isn't
because
she's been raising this child for decades
before
they came to
this
town. She
took him the wrong baby, right?
Yeah, I mean, she did look Chinese
as
a newborn. As
an infant,
That's what it was. Not a newborn.
Yeah. But then, you know, and Jocelyn thanks Moira, you know, for everything, and I'll never forget what you did, you know, to help her get there and everything. And I love how Moira's like, well, if the drugs are good, you will.
Right, yeah.
Which I thought was really cute, too.
Yeah. But Roland basically shows up and relieves Moira of her responsibility of being there, so Moira can go back to the cafe, because basically, I guess instead of doing lock and key, I guess that was going to be their big icebreaker.
Right.
But another thing they were going to do, it's basically speed dating.
Yeah.
Right? Like,
but
that's it. And it's
totally
the speediest speed dating. When she's like, everybody switch,
it didn't
even seem like 2 minutes.
Yeah,
it's stated,
it's
but
TV time, right?
Yes.
Yeah. But we're not quite at the cafe yet.
Oh, we're not? Okay, sorry.
We have to make a quick stop at the apothecary first.
Oh.
Did you not take notes on that?
It's like I totally did not take notes
on
that.
Yeah, they went back to... David showed back up at the apothecary after coming from the vet's office.
Sure.
Patrick said he sold a lot of massage oils to the singles while he was gone. And I can't believe you didn't write this down, because he kisses Patrick and he tells him he loves him. Like, again, like you said, he had to come back and do it on his terms. And then Patrick, of course, has to be a little bit of a jerk.
Yeah.
Remember, we were watching and I was like, oh. No,
you were, yeah. We've said things about Patrick That's before, right. after the fact, but never have you audibly.
I try not to in the middle of the episode.
You were fuming.
I wasn't really fuming, but I was just annoyed.
You were very upset.
Because, of course,
about this.
It's this lovely moment to yes. then which Patrick has to say, well, this would be the perfect moment if only I was holding some tea.
Right. Now, I am not one to defend Patrick at all here on this podcast. I think you and I have somehow became like the head of the anti-Patrick movement that may be starting. I think he was joking. Like, I don't think he was serious.
I know he was joking, but I was just like, oh, jeez. No, like, that's a big deal for David.
Right.
That's a big deal for him to, like, say those words. And he was all freaking out before when he said it.
Yes.
And he came back and he was able to do it so easily and naturally. And then Patrick had to get that dig in there like, you forgot my freaking tea.
Yes.
That's all.
I agree.
Yeah.
I think the problem is that after the joke, when David's like, oh my God, I'll go get it. He didn't stop him or like pull him back. Right? Like, you could do that. He let him go. He let him leave to go get the tea.
It's fine. I think I feel like at least his little digs in this episode were a little bit more like good natured fun. But still, I was like, really? Right. Do you have to complain about the tea? Like, you know, David's not going to come back with the tea. Like, just. Be quiet
also,
and let it go. And be happy that he loves you.
Also, I don't know what's happening at the cafe. Are you going to get tea there?
Oh, I don't
Twyla's
know.
Twyla's clearly not even working.
Twyla's so, involved in singles right, week,
yes,
right?
She's there yeah. in the singles. Oh, it is important to notice earlier when Alexis is talking about locks and keys and stuff, when she does bring up Mutt, I think uh-huh. it's nice that she's talking to Twyla. Like, mm-hmm. we see Twyla there.
Uh-huh.
She's talking directly to her.
Yeah.
I think that's really great. But yeah, so I don't know if you can get food at the cafe anytime this week.
Yeah, I don't know.
I mean, I'm sure we're leaving this area to go pet dogs at some point.
Right.
So, you know.
Or to the curling. The curling club. That they backed out.
They backed up. They probably have some sort of curling tournament that they have to host instead.
Yeah.
All right. So they're doing speed dating.
Yes. So we're back at the cafe. Right. I said it was like musical chair speed dating, which I know is what you do. Like when you speed date, you move your seat and everything. But it did. It made me feel like musical chairs.
Speed dating was a thing like in the early 2000s, right?
I worked with a guy. Sometimes, occasionally, there are still places. I feel like there's a place actually local to us that I feel like did something similar to that not that long ago.
Is it the same place where they throw axes that I just learned exists?
Which or doesn't the curling even exist club? Anymore. No.
Wait, that place is already shut down.
It was open for a long time, but it's shut down now.
Oh.
Don't make plans to go there.
All right. Well,
yeah.
Is the curling club still open? Because maybe we can go there.
That's not local to us. It's further away.
Okay. All right.
Anyway.
It's further north. All right.
Anyway.
So Moira shows up and is like, wow, I can't even believe you got this up and running, or I should have had more faith in you.
Right. She apologizes really for nice kind things. Of underestimating her. And this is when, you know, I said in the beginning how good I thought Alexis looked.
Yes.
And I also thought almost at the end here when she and Moira are having a conversation, I thought they were like their looks were vibing off of each other.
Okay.
Like Alexis had the wavy hair and like Moira had the down wavy hair. Mm-hmm. And I almost felt like that was like sort of like a little ode to like connect the two of them. Like,
okay.
You're like Moira
and
almost
to visually
like,
connect them.
Moira
as well
saying
as...
you're more like me and you're more capable and you can do more things than I'm giving you credit for. And I almost felt like just the whole vibe, the way that they looked in this episode.
Yeah. And if you're watching this, let's say you're watching the show in real time. I mean, it has been years or seasons since they first had that big issue where they had to go to lunch together and couldn't even talk.
Right.
So it is nice that they've found this weird, like, common ground, how they're both into event planning, yeah. I guess.
Yeah.
And, you know, so it's really nice to see right. this relationship.
Right. We know Moira was really big into, yeah, like planning yeah. the charity events and doing all that mm-hmm. kind of stuff. And now Alexis is kind of doing this, like, her own PR and everything else as well. And I did. I just felt like their looks were, like, connected here, that it was almost like showing that right. little connection between
it's,
the two
it's
of them.
Just so nice. And I'm sure it's something we brought up before, but maybe we haven't, how you can see these two kids, like, getting things from their parents and really understanding that they are clearly the children of these parents. Like mm-hmm. you said, with this event planning, and I know it was a dumb little baby shower, but Altavia was like, I'll take charge of this and right. everything, much like Moira would do. But they're both entrepreneurs, too.
Right.
Like, Alexis
yeah, like
is starting
getting
her
that,
own business.
That bit from
David
Johnny.
Has started mm-hmm. his own business.
Oh, yeah,
so,
totally.
Yeah, it's really
yeah.
great.
Yeah, you see how much they've, you know, obviously we always talk about that's the beauty of the show is watching yeah. the growth.
So here's a question I have for you and our listeners, because I think this is just too perfect to
is
not
it about
have
sex
been.
In the city?
No, okay. it's not. I think this is just too perfect to not have been planned. Mm-hmm. Are we to assume that Ted ran into Moira outside of the cafe? Because Moira's like, you
get in there,
you play.
Maybe.
Because question
I didn't really
mark.
Even think about it, but
okay.
maybe.
That's kind of what yeah. I thought. I mean, yeah, also, no, she's giving her a break, but it's not like, hey, you take five,
right.
go outside and have some tea or something. It's yeah. really like, now it's your turn to participate.
Yeah, like she pushes her
dating.
To jump in and play the game.
Exactly.
And, you know, we see David come in.
Right.
So David, well, we know David was at the apothecary, right? So he came in for tea, but probably still didn't get it because he was totally distracted by what was happening.
We need a little scene at the end of Patrick locking up at the end of the night, just saying, and I never got my tea.
Yeah, right. But yeah, so we see David come in. Alexis, of course, gets pushed into the event and
right.
it's time to move. And she's standing there. And of course, who should pop up in front of her
right.
but and sit down but Ted? Mm-hmm.
I like how Ted says, I got to be quick. I know I only have two minutes. But also,
yeah.
you got to get back to the vet's office because there's nobody. I don't know who your receptionist is, but when David showed up, there was no one else there.
True, yeah. But maybe it's a weekend. Maybe the vet's office wasn't open.
Right, they close at noon or something
right.
like that.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. But of course, he says he's newly single, which yep. this is now Alexis realizing that he did,
yeah.
you know, he broke up with Heather. And I can't read anything I wrote. Something about single for the last 2 years. I don't know what that
is. I don't think that's true.
Do,
but
do this every single day. Oh, I've wanted
oh
to do
my
this.
God. Wow.
I can't. My notes are such a mess. But yeah, so he has like this whole, like this cute little heart to heart. And he's like, I've wanted to do this every
right.
single day for the last 2 years. And of course, you know. They stand up and he kisses her and then some other random tries to kiss Twyla.
First of all, I love it. Twyla's
it's
reaction
so great.
Is great.
She's like, no, just backs up. Yes.
Fun little fact though. This random is our good writer friend, David West Reed, who has written so many of these episodes.
Uh-huh.
Didn't write this one.
Okay.
But I guess was just around.
Just was hanging out
yeah.
and hopped in.
And is in this scene. Yeah, her
and
reaction
Twyla's
is
not
very
into,
funny.
Oh, it's
yeah.
totally funny.
I just love how he's
cute.
Like, I guess this is what we're doing
right,
now.
Like, this is what we do. You just kiss whoever you're sitting with.
Right.
Yeah.
I guess this was all planned that suddenly
yeah.
at this moment we've all found our matches, so let's
yeah.
do this. But it is really fun how everyone also applauds.
Oh, and I love like David's little cheer,
yeah.
which is, and again, it's so sweet to see how he orchestrated and made all this happen for her.
Sure.
These are the siblings that were, you get murdered first for once, you
right,
know,
exactly.
like in the first episode.
Yeah, they all
and
shut
just
up to each
how,
other 140
right,
times in the first episode.
Right.
So.
And it's just so nice to see like how they're in each other's courts now and how,
definitely.
You know, like he's cheering for her and was so excited and orchestrated, you know, this reunion between the two of them.
Yeah.
And just his genuine like emotion and excitement about it
yep.
was, I love his little awkward cheer.
Exactly.
You know,
it's really great. No, it's really, really wonderful because like I sort of said, maybe Moira ran into Ted, but I think it makes more sense that Moira ran into David outside and David, you know, Whatever. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, they didn't walk in together. So yeah.
No, you're right.
You don't know. You can assume whatever you want.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I will do that.
I think you should.
So let's go back to the hospital to close out this episode at the hospital.
Yeah, Jocelyn, Roland, and baby boy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Little Roland Moira shit. Who laughs? I didn't look up when I was taking my notes, but when the name is said, it's either Moira or Johnny that laughs. Somebody laughs at the name.
I think it was Johnny, but okay. I don't really know. And she said it was an honor I dreamed not of.
Yep, really great.
And they're dying for them to hold him. They want the two of them to take this baby so badly.
Yep.
Well,
not them. They really want Moira to hold him.
Well, but I think
sure,
they would have been happy, either one of them, you know. And she's like, take him, John. My hands are shaking. And Johnny goes, no, thank you.
It's very nice. No, thank you. Yeah. Johnny will not be taking this baby from Moira.
Oh, gosh.
And that's how the episode ends. End of the episode.
Yeah.
Really nice. New baby, no mutt. Kind of a perfect ending to an episode, as far as
I guess you're thrilled about that.
I don't think we mentioned it on our last episode. Maybe we did, and if we did, I'm sorry, I'm bringing it up again. Mutt's beard looked great in that episode because they didn't put shoe polish all over it.
Oh yeah,
it looked
his
so
hair
realistic.
Color looked a little
it
bit more
really
natural.
Really nice. And I'm just wondering if they did that early on to make him seem younger or something. I don't know.
Yeah, I don't know.
I'm talking about old episodes, which I shouldn't be doing.
Yeah.
All right.
You shouldn't be doing. You're not allowed.
No, okay. No, we're not allowed to dig back into the past. We gotta look forward to the future.
We've dug back into the past a couple times
never.
This episode. All right.
So
whatevs.
Wow, this is so great.
At the end of every episode, we rank our Schitt's Creek episodes from the best Schitt's Creek episode ever to the least best episode of Schitt's Creek. So Carla, if this episode were a shit baby,
oh my gosh.
Would you hold him or would you try and pass him off to somebody else?
Wow.
And I will bring up the list.
Yeah, I mean, I remember watching this episode, you know, and just being so thrilled at, you know, the little singles event and Ted coming back and he and Alexis reuniting and everything. And yeah, I think it's a super fun episode. I love the connection between David and Ted. You know, the little moments with Johnny and Stevie and Roland and the baby and everything are fun.
They're really trying to get every character.
Yeah, they really
into
did. Like, even
episode.
Bob was in it.
Yeah.
Like, they got him in.
And none of it seems forced.
Right. Yeah. No, I would agree with that. I am going to say that this is my new number 8.
Okay.
I like this one.
Okay. New number 8.
Yeah.
That. Boy, your Wine and Roses just keeps falling. I remember when your Wine and Roses was up number 3 or 4.
Well, you forced me to do this.
I do force you to
so
do this. So that one just,
you know, what else can I
just
do?
Just keeps falling. We're very, very close with this one. This is my new number 11.
Oh. Didn't break the top 10, though.
No, it didn't break the top 10.
You have no heart.
But I, right, yeah, that's what it is.
You're heartless.
And I think part of the problem is I think I always expect so much from these first and last episodes, even though technically this isn't the last episode.
Mm-hmm.
And I think it's just one of those things where if we think about the first season and second season, and I think I need to stop putting this crazy pressure on the first and last episodes.
Wow. Yeah.
I just feel like it's really, really tough to
how can you top certain
hit
things?
Those highs of those first
of
couple seasons. But no, this is a very good episode. Like we said, a lot of character growth, a lot of our, you know, favorites show up.
Mm-hmm.
And as I've said before, any episode with Bob is a good one.
Yeah.
Even something
even
like Bob
Spangles. That was still okay.
Right. Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah, so that is it for this episode. But as I said, folks, something a little bit different because we already covered the Christmas episode. I will just put that out again next weekend. So if you haven't heard it yet, you might want to wait. It is there if you dig back a few episodes. Or if you want to listen again, go right ahead. But we'll technically be back in 2 weeks when we start episode 5. But look out.
Season 5.
Sorry.
Episode 1.
Season 5, episode 1. But look for Merry Christmas, Johnny Rose, next week. All right, everybody. Until then, have a great week.
Namaste, guys.